I was enjoying myself to such an extent, and I was so busy clapping my hands to the playing of Ricardo and aiding to make up a team to clap for the singing of the Niña de los Penes that I did not notice that Finito had filled his own napkin by now and that he had taken mine. He was drinking more manzanilla now, and his eyes were very bright, and he was nodding very happily to everyone. He could not speak much because at any time while speaking he might have to resort to his napkin, but he was giving an appearance of great gaiety and enjoyment, which after all was what he was there for. So the banquet proceeded, and the man who sat next to me had been the former manager of Rafael El Gallo, and he was telling me a story, and the end of it was, so Rafael came to me and said, "You are the best friend I have in the world and the noblest. I love you like a brother, and I wish to make you a present." So then he gave me a beautiful diamond stick pin and kissed me on both cheeks, and we were both very moved. Then Rafael El Gallo, having given me the diamond stick pin, walked out of the cafe, and I said to Retana, who was sitting at the table, "That dirty gypsy has just signed a contract with another manager." "What do you mean?" Retana asked. "I've managed him for 10 years, and he has never given me a present before," the manager of El Gallo had said. "That's the only thing it can mean." And sure enough, it was true, and that was how El Gallo left him. But at this point, Pastore intervened in the conversation, not perhaps as much to defend the good name of Rafael, since no one had ever spoken harder against him than she had herself, but because the manager had spoken against the gypsies by employing the phrase, "dirty gypsy." She intervened so forcibly and in such terms that the manager was reduced to silence. I intervened to quiet Pastora, and another gitana intervened to quiet me, and the din was such that no one could distinguish any words which passed except the one great word, "whore," which roared out above all other words, until quiet was restored, and the three of us who had intervened sat looking down into our glasses, and then I noticed that Finito was staring at the bull's head, still draped in the purple cloth, with a look of horror on his face. At this moment the president of the club commenced the speech which was to precede the unveiling of the head, and all through the speech, which was applauded with shouts of "Olé!" and poundings on the table, I was watching Finito, who was making use of my napkin, and sinking further back in his chair, and staring with horror and fascination at the shrouded bull's head on the wall opposite him. Toward the end of the speech, Finito began to shake his head, and he got further back in the chair all the time. "How are you, little one?" I said to him, but when he looked at me he did not recognize me, and he only shook his head and said, "No, no, no." So the president of the club reached the end of the speech, and then with everybody cheering him, he stood on a chair and reached up and untied the cord that bound the purple shroud over the head and slowly pulled it clear of the head, and it stuck on one of the horns, and he lifted it clear and pulled it off the sharp, polished horns, and there was that great yellow bull with black horns that swung way out and pointed forward, their white tips sharp as porcupine quills, and the head of the bull was as though he were alive. His forehead was curly as in life, and his nostrils were open, and his eyes were bright, and he was there looking straight at Finito. Everyone shouted and applauded, and Finito sunk further back in the chair, and then everyone was quiet and looking at him, and he said, "No, no," and looked at the bull and pulled further back, and then he said, "No," very loudly, and a big blob of blood came out, and he didn't even put up the napkin, and it slid down his chin, and he was still looking at the bull, and he said, "All season, yes. To make money, yes. To eat, yes. But I can't eat. Hear me? My stomach's bad. But now with the season finished, no, no, no." He looked around at the table, and then he looked at the bull's head and said, "No," once more. And then he put his head down, and he put his napkin up to his mouth. And then he just sat there like that and said nothing. And the banquet, which had started so well and promised to mark an epoch in hilarity and good fellowship, was not a success.